Let's pray again. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you and help us to worship you, to hear your voice, to treasure this time, just to be able to be thoughtful, to be circumspect, to allow the Holy Spirit of God to sink your words deeply into our hearts and minds and souls. And we thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. The Bible is an upset your apple cart book. The Bible is an upset your apple cart book. What do I mean by that? Well, we sometimes think, even the faithful student of God's Word, that we have a good understanding of some spiritual truth. And then God turns our idea on its head, stands it upside down, knocks over our apple cart. This is a good thing. It's called being transformed by the renewing of our minds, having our apple cart knocked over and our apples roll across the floor. This morning, we're going to look at one of those ideas that needs turned on its head or stood on its head, as the expression sometimes goes, an area in which we need to allow the Spirit of God to upset our apple cart according to the instruction of God's Word. And that is the idea that some of God is sufficient, that some will do. We don't have to get all carried away and all caught up in this thing that some is enough, some is good. While we would say some is better than nothing, wouldn't we, possibly? And if we did, we would be dead wrong. Many people, some of us, think that a man, think like the man or woman of whom Wilbur Ries spoke of in his brief meditation titled, and some of you have possibly, very possibly, have heard this, his meditation titled $3 Worth of God, which I'll read now. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. End meditation. If you even remotely think this way, that some of God will do, that you can measure out what is sufficient, portion out just enough to get you to heaven, then I hope this morning, I really do, I hope to upset your apple cart, that you will see how contradictory that approach is to the teaching of God's Word. Because some, that little bit that we measure out, that little bit that seems right to us, that some, that little bit's better than nothing, contradicts the Bible teaching that we're to be filled. We're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to be filled with the knowledge of His will. We're to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And astoundingly as it sounds, but you've got the scripture verse, we're to be filled with all the fullness of God. So you can maybe see my point where just some is not really what God has in mind. In fact, the filling we're going to look at this morning is essential, vital, absolutely necessary to our living a life worthy of the manner of our Lord and pleasing to Him. Please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. I thought of the apple cart idea kind of filtered in as you're turning in your Bibles to this text, and because it was my apple cart that's getting overturned all the time. And we need to more and more appreciate that. Because see, you expect the people who they pick their Bible up once a week, if even that, well, you expect their apple cart to get turned over, because, you know, if you don't really have a thirst and an interest in what God has to say, well, of course your ideas are going to get turned upside down. But see, the greatness, the magnificent, the magnitude of God's word is that even as a faithful student, someone who's devoted to their Lord in reading his word and in studying it, his word, because his ways and his thoughts are above our ways and thoughts as the heavens are above the earth, even to that faithful student, that faithful follower of God's word, we get our apple cart turned over. We have these ideas that are too locked into our humanity and the ways of this world. And God comes along and he says, oops, but he doesn't say oops, does he? Because he did it on purpose. He knocks over our apple cart. And if we've got any sense about us of submission to him in his holiness and in his greatness, in his infinite wisdom, then we'll say, you know, what's that old commercial? Thanks, I needed that. Again, it's a transformation by the renewing of our minds. Paul could have maybe used, if I'd have been around for that Romans text, he could have maybe used my apple cart idea there. So, Colossians 1 verse 9, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled, that you may be filled, not that you might have some, but that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. The first essential, and it's just right out there and plain to see, but sometimes those plain to see things, they need to be stated, don't they? The first essential is filling. Filling means filled. We must be filled to walk worthy. So if we have a question, well, am I walking worthy of the Lord? Am I walking in a way that pleases my Savior and again we can't overlook the privilege that as a human on this earth that was born dead in sin, that we can actually walk in a way that's not just okay with the Lord God, the Almighty Master and Creator of the universe, but that we can walk in a way that's fully pleasing to him. You know, he looked down on Job with Job and all his flaws, and he said, there's a good one. Satan attacked him, and Job went through all that stuff, and he came to a place, a spiritual place before God that he had never experienced before. But the whole thing was that God looked on him, was fully pleased with him, even in the state, in our weaknesses. And he, you know, he just still does that now. He can look on you, and he can look on me, and he said, there's a good one. I am so pleased with Bill or Mary or John or Henry or, well, how can that happen? Well, we see we have to be filled with the knowledge of his will. We have to be filled with the knowledge of what God wants. So we're going to look through that. Filling's necessary. It's requisite. Merely attaining or possessing knowledge of God's will is not enough. Some is not enough. And when I said some is better than nothing, and I said that's dead wrong, that's exactly what I mean. And I think I can prove that out rock solid, because that's a mistake a lot of people make. That some, that $3 worth. I'll take some. Well, we've got them in church. That's good enough, right? No, it's not. No, that some is enough. Well, you know, we're doing this. That's, you know, filled. See, what we don't understand, we'll look at this more later, and there's something, you know, I have these ideas come in my mind, and thankfully some of them you don't hear because they're even crazier than the ones that you hear. But see, what we have to understand through this whole process, it's not the vessel. We're going to look at the holding water and clean water later, or dirty water. Because in all of our weaknesses and our differences and our degrees of talents and gifts and abilities, it's not the vessel. It's who's doing the filling and what we're filled with. See, so we can look at ourselves and we just say, well, what can God do here? Well, it's not you and it's not me. We're not the great ones. We're not the almighty ones. We're not the powerful ones. Would it really be nice, you know, if I had a jar, a clay jar, because Paul does speak. See, that's why I think he might like my apple cart idea, because he used a clay jar. Okay, let me move away from the silliness. But he said, we have this treasure in jars of clay. So again, it doesn't matter. The vessel. And the other part of that is you can gussy up the vessel and you make it look real good with church stuff and religious stuff, and you can, you know, all these outward things, you can put your spiritual lipstick on and your makeup. Doesn't matter. You've got to be filled. God's got to be doing the filling, and it's got to be filled with the right thing. We're going to see that as we progress through this. Filling is what enables us and empowers us to walk in a manner worthy of our Lord. Ron Bricker and I, it's been probably over a year ago, we were working through some early verses in Colossians, and he had a really good insight. You know, I pray for people, and I pray for you that we'll walk worthy. I pray for our board that we'll walk worthy. But his insight was, but they got to know God's will to walk worthy, don't we? And we do. And this is, it's just like, this is, this truth, as I'm going through Colossians, this truth has exploded, that we have to know what to do to walk worthy. But it's more than being knowing. What does our text tell us? I'll just take us back to that. Paul prays that we might be what? That we might know some of God's will, that we might know a lot of God's will. What does he say? That we might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual understanding and wisdom. We need to be filled. Christ is our supreme example of doing the will of God. I think you'll have all these verses. Hebrews 10, 5 to 7. I'm just going to read verse 7. I gave you the other there for context, but before coming, he said, then I said, Christ said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. In John 4, 31 to 34, the disciples came up and Jesus said, well, let me just read part of that. The disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. It's like, you know, we're hungry. You've got to be hungry. We looked at that this morning, the humanity of Christ. Got to be hungry. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, it's like, who went to McDonald's and brought, you know, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food, what I go on, what I get my strength on, is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. John 5:30, the end of the verse, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And John 6:38, we looked at this last week. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He's our supreme example here's Jesus, perfect man, perfect God, walking this earth. He's not charting his own course. So how about us? Can we let this rebuke us, correct our course, instruct us in righteousness? This is our desire should be to do our Father's will. The next thing, we'll either be foolish or we'll understand what the will of the Lord is. The Bible's just full of these. People don't like it. They don't like this straight line thinking, and they like to think in the gray areas. They like to let their minds expand, but the Bible isn't typically like that. And you'll see that in our verses that you have, Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Anybody agree the days are evil? Oh, yeah. Therefore, don't be a fool. The days are evil, so don't be a fool. Therefore, the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. So you're going to be foolish, or what are you going to be? No, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Can we see the importance growing in our minds to be filled with the will of our God? Next, discerning the will of God comes through a sacrificial transforming process. It doesn't come from picking up your Bible every now and then. It doesn't come from consulting a commentary or a reading, you know, your morning devotionals or whatever. It comes through a sacrificial transforming process. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, let me just say this. This is should be a joyful, joyful thing to each of us presenting. And I do this, and Carrie and I do this, and we pray about this. And this isn't exalting yourself or putting yourself on a pedestal. Or it's just the opposite. It's bowing before God and saying, Lord, whatever is here. You know, I said, you know, last week I didn't accompany the strings because my hands just aren't quite doing what they used to do, so I'm staying away from the guitar for a while. And this will, you know, you guys do this. You get up and you go, oh, and the other one will say, well, what was that, the shoulder? Was it the hip? Or? But what a great joy that I can present this body. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about this actual body. So things that you can do to, you know, Christ gave the example of a cup of water. So you can take that hand and someone's thirsty and you can give them a cup of water. Someone has a need and you can take that hand and you can write a check for $500 and give it to them because God's blessed you, and you can give it to them to help them along in their struggle. You can cut your neighbor's grass. Usually, sometimes they threaten to call the police on you. Some of you know the rest of that story. You can walk over you see what I'm saying? It's endless. These bodies, these things that don't say, like, see, it doesn't, the vessel doesn't matter. Maybe you have to use a cane to get there. But the vessel doesn't, see, it's not the vessel. It's what's showing through the vessel when it's filled with the Spirit and it's filled with the knowledge of God's will. And then that last one, that prayer, and you've got it on your sheet, that the in the Ephesians 3. Really, God, filled with all the fullness of God? Boy, talk about boggle our minds. See, it's not the vessel. It's the vessel. That's why I asked Janet to get me something that I couldn't break. It's not the vessel. It's only the part is the vessel is the vessel is willing to present itself as a living sacrifice. Joyful, joyful thing that should be. Lord, what can I do physically? What would you want me to do? One thing you did, you came to church today. Now it matters the heart too, but that body came to church and we bow before our God. So let me continue in that verse. Do not be conformed to this world, not shaped into the world's form. And that happens in ways that we don't see it's happening. We don't even realize it. That's why we have to pour ourselves into God's word and have him upset our apple cart, because we'll see. It's like, oh, you know, I've conformed to the world. I didn't even know it because it seemed so good and natural. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, living this out, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So understanding the will of God, discerning the will of God, comes through a sacrificial transforming process. So first essential, and we have to realize that God's principle is that we're filled. Some won't cut it. Some, see what, the we're filled with the understanding of God's will and all spiritual understanding and wisdom. That's a person who can walk worthy of a manner in the manner of the Lord and be willing to please him. The person with some is the religious person. This is good enough. I measured out. This is good. I'll take this principle and I'll take this principle and I'll take this and I'll take that. Some is good enough, but it's not, is it? Second essential, clean water. clean water is the second essential. We must be filled with the right thing. The end of verse 9, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, what that's speaking of, and we're going to go through this, but just let me give you the overview, is just everything comes from God. It's not filtered by humans. No human filters. No philosophy of this world filters. No psychological filters of our secularist mind. But it comes from God. It's the Word of God taught by the Spirit of God, lived out in our lives. It's things that only God can reveal to us, and we can get no other way. And we receive those things, and that's when we understand the will of God. We need clean water. We must not trust knowledge that has been compromised by the wisdom of this world, religious or otherwise, because sometimes we'll take these religious things and we'll say, and it may be, but let's just got to stand the test of God's word. So first, the knowledge of God's will is revealed to us by the Spirit, things we cannot know by human means. I'm going to let you read those verses on your own. I'm going to go down to verse 10. These things God has revealed to us. But take the time to read both of those verses. We've gone over them, I'd say, several times over the last several months. So read that. This is wisdom. Well, that has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. That's what the Spirit will reveal to us. Second, we receive the knowledge of God's will through the Spirit that we might understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Do you want to understand truly what God wants to give you, what he's actually already given us that we just need to receive? Then we need to make sure it's from the Spirit, through the Word of God. Not the Spirit as in, not the Spirit like that, but the clearly revealed Word of God. Third, don't be captured by human thinking. Here, don't go back to the darkness. What are we thinking? What are we thinking? We want to go back and we say, you know what? This is a good spiritual principle. I'm going to go back and I'm going to take these natural means, these constructs of the natural mind, whether we've got that from the university or from grade school or whatever. And now I'm going to handle God's truth. I'm going to take the divine data and bring it into these means and I'm going to understand it in that way. Don't do that. Don't go back to the darkness. What verse 13? Say that he's delivered us from the domain of darkness. Why go back to that? Colossians 2:8 in the New Living Translation. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense, and that's just what it is, that comes from human thinking. No human thinking filters. And from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ, Galatians 4:9, New Living Translation. Now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again? What are you thinking? Why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless principles of this world? Why would we do that? Well, we do that, for one thing, it's the way we're trained to do it, through our secular school system. We do that because it's been acceptable in our churches for decade after decade, probably your entire life. I'm not saying every church, but I'm saying so much of these lesser means of receiving the Word of God, these humanistic influences have infiltrated the church. And there's so much a part of our lives that we don't recognize it. It's conformity to this world that we don't recognize. That's why we need to be filled with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, the Word of God taught by the Spirit of God, upsetting your and my apple cart. We must not dig our own wells, Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. We wanted to make our own places, our own repositories of spiritual knowledge. And anything apart from the Spirit of God through the Word of God is wrong. We must not receive knowledge for our filling from polluted wells. It must be in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The second part of Colossians 1:9. Dirty water. This is dirty water from these polluted wells. We must not trample on or pollute the wisdom of God with the wisdom of this world by listening to those who have dishonored their calling. By listening to those who have dishonored their calling, who no longer share living water, but have become polluted wells. Do they share some truth? Yes, but they've become a polluted well. We do not honor them by listening to them. A verse, Proverbs 25:26, NASB. It's really good in whatever translation you want it in, but this it really states it. Like a trampled spring, like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked, who compromises his place before the Lord, especially if it's a preacher or teacher of God's word. We're going to see an example of that. Wells that at one time were good but have been polluted by those who have violated their sacred trust. And you better believe it's a sacred trust. And when you take your Bible and you go to your neighbor, you better believe it's a sacred trust in your hands. Whether you're teaching a 3-year-old or a 33-year-old or an 83-year-old, you better believe it's a sacred trust that you have, a keeper of God's word, a guardian, a preserver, of one who follows in loving devotion, intent, our greatest desire to love God and to express that love in obedience and in honoring Him to the greatest degree that is possible. God calls it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and might. Malachi 2:7, for the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you priests, and it through rampant throughout God's people through the Old Testament, but you priests, you have turned aside from the way, you have caused many to stumble by your instruction. Why? Because you have corrupted. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. The Proverbs verse again. Like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Wells, next. Wells that at one time were good but have been polluted by those who have rejected knowledge. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you, the priests, have rejected knowledge, because we have rejected knowledge. God's word is no longer God's word. God's word is no longer our only authoritative source. We've rejected that, and God's people get destroyed. Next, wells that have been polluted by those who use the very wisdom. Wells that have been polluted by those who use the very wisdom that God vows to destroy. What do I mean by that? Well, we say, well, take this wisdom and we'll learn God's wisdom. The thing is that wisdom they're taking, the wisdom of man, these plausible ideas, this rational approach of the natural mind, is the wisdom that God says, that is not going to happen. He said, let's just read the text, 1 Corinthians 1:19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. But yet, we go back to the darkness. We go back to these reasonable ideas and these rationalistic assumptions. We say, hey, that sounds good. I'll apply that to my Christianity. You polluted the well. You stepped outside of the teaching, the instruction of the Holy Spirit of God and the Holy Word of God. Wells that have been polluted by those who use wisdom, which God has rendered useless in reaching God. God said, here's this body of truth, this wisdom. You can't use it to reach me. But what will we do? We go back to the darkness. Hey, this looks pretty good. I'll use these psychological means, these philosophical ways, this compromised faith, this compromised religious instruction. What's it compromised by? The natural mind. And we can reach God. We can understand Him better through that. No, we can't. Filled is what Paul prays, filled with the understanding of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding and wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. Follow that? In God's wisdom, he said, your wisdom ain't gonna work. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. The main things, the plain things, the preaching this message, that's too simple, they'll say. It's more complicated than that. No, you're just making it complicated like Eve made it complicated when she was confronted with eat from the tree or don't eat from the tree. Well, let's make it complicated. It's not complicated, not the things that we need to know. Then, so we have to be filled. We have to be filled with clean water, clean, pure, living water. Our sources have to be people who haven't compromised their faith. It has to come from leaders who haven't compromised their belief in God and their reverence for God and the authority and the inspiration of God's word. Essential number three, godliness. We must be changed. See, if you're the vessel of God and God's pouring his water in you, you will be changed. See, we have some of these ideas, and again, it comes from our natural minds that, and I know there's people who know the Lord and they're not living for the Lord. I'm not saying that. And we got all these terms and we say, oh, they're a carnal Christian. Well, some of those terms we've come up with, and they pay pretty good and they kind of fit the scenario, but they're just not true, folks. If you have trusted in Christ, you will be changed. And you'll evidence these things that we're going to see in this text. Let me read this. He says, so if this happens then we're getting filled with his understanding, we're walking worthy, we're fully pleasing to him, and then it continues in verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance with and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Godliness is what will result from the child of God. Does that make sense to you? I mean, I know it's apple cart upsetting because we're concerned. Our kids that made a profession of faith years ago, and boy, we just love to believe they really know the Lord, but do we see fruit in their good works? Do we see them increasing in the knowledge of God? Do we see them strengthened with his power, that this power that allows us to endure and to be, and not just to endure, not just grit your teeth, fight your way through it, but have this patience, this endurance with joy, because we know the joy, like Christ knew the joy set before him, and we're given that example, and we know the joy set before us. And then we're just giving thanks. It just flows from the life of the one who walks with God. Apple cart upsetting, isn't it? Because but what's better, that we understand the reality of their spiritual condition and try to address that with them, or we keep pretending because we feel better, which is really selfishness on our part, isn't it? We can feel better if I think my brother, my neighbor, or whoever, and they come up and they kind of say something, blah, 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 and it kind of sounds like they might, or what hope they want to know to go to heaven or whatever, and we accept that because we don't want to cause a rift in the friendship. And it's selfishness. Godliness will be seen. We have been then filled with the knowledge of God's will and are walking worthy of our Lord and fully pleasing to him. We will be godly. This is what godliness is. Bearing fruit in the work of God, increasing in our knowledge of God, being strengthened by the power of God, and giving thanks to God. On your just some practical things on your study sheet in conclusion here as we think through these things. It's been on my heart and mind for weeks now of our desire for God's word let me just hear this, just the important practical considerations, the big yellow cloud thing. Now you can open your Bible every day and you're still not doing what we've talked about this morning as far as being filled with the knowledge of God, but opening your Bible's a good start, isn't it? Do you do that? Do you read your Bible? I mean, isn't that a good start? That you read it? You can read it with a hard heart, but it, at least do you read it? Because can you see how it doesn't fit if you say, well, I want to walk worthy, I want to be pleasing to the Lord, or even I want to get to heaven, but you don't even read God's word? And then do you study it? Because it seems to me like you'd want to. Now, when I came back to the Lord and started walking with him, Carrie had come to Christ. I grew up in church, but it's a shamefully knew so little. But you know what I did know? This is God's word, and somebody didn't have to tell me. And I'm not patting myself on the back, so don't try to make your excuse like that. Oh, he's up there patting himself on the back. No, it was what God called me to. It's his word. He's God. He's called me to himself. I should, and it was like O'Hare Field, a lot of my reading. Whew, 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 whew. Nothing was landing at times, but at times things would land. And I'd read the Daily Bread, because that's been around forever. And then I'd plod through the Bible, and a lot of it just... But you know why? There's something. So do you read your Bible? And then do you study? Study the Bible. I hope I'm knocking some apple carts over. Actually, it'd be better if I'm not, if you're already doing these things. But do you bring your Bible to church? Might not. I know I print a lot of the scripture verses, and that's so that, because I have a lot, and we go through those. But do I ever say anything? You want to say, I better check him out, see what he's, he's got that sinister look today. I'm going to check him out, see what's going on. Or hopefully not that, but it's like some thought is instigated. You know, Steve Brown, some of you have heard of Steve Brown. You've listened to his Key Life program on the radio, maybe, but he gave this story. He said there was one of his professors, former professors, must have been in the area, but when he'd come and he'd hear Steve preach in his church, And Steve Brown told him, he said, I start preaching. He said, and I look down there and you're doing this. He didn't know if he was doodling or... He said, and he gave him one of his highest compliments. He said, you start preaching. He said, the ideas, the Holy Spirit start generating these ideas. He said, I've got to start writing this stuff down. It was provoking his thoughts. But see, now if you have that verse and you didn't have your Bible, then maybe when you get home, right? Do you meditate on the truth of the Bible? And some of you memorize, and I don't memorize a lot. Do you obey the teaching of God in the Bible? That's kind of a big one, isn't it? I mean, oh God. Wonderful God, mighty God, Word of God, do you obey him? Well, no, not really. Because see, that's part of the process. If you caught that in the Romans 12, 1 and 2, living sacrifice, transformed by the renewing of our minds, the testing, the proving, that's when we're living it out. That's when it really clicks. See, it's living. There's nothing more interactive than the Word of God, the living Word of God, and that's why it just reverberates in our hearts and minds and souls. Someone else can just be reading it, and you just can feel that it's the living Word of God. But the part doesn't click when it's here, but when we're living that out. And let me just finish with this morning then. Psalm 40, verse 8, the psalmist declares, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Now, I'm really not trying to be mean, but I am. If it's a rebuke, then it's a rebuke. Because isn't now the time to hear this? Isn't now the time? I was talking to someone the other day. I said, you know, I believe in heaven, all the people who sat under men who have preached the word of God, and the people that they stubbornly resisted and stubbornly resisted and stubbornly resisted, and they're going to be before the judgment of God. And I think the great regret, I sat there and he tried to tell me. I sat there Sunday after Sunday, and that preacher, he tried to draw my attention to it, and I was offended, because how dare he? Who does he think he is? How dare he question my walk with the Lord? And you fight it off Sunday after Sunday, because a lot of faithful churchgoers don't know the Lord. So this is fair of me to ask. It might be awkward moment time, but it's fair of me to ask. Does anything like that erupt from your heart? I delight to do your will, oh God. Because see, if we're getting filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual understanding and wisdom, it's gonna come out like that. And then one more. Psalm 143:10. Does this thought cross your mind? Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Wow. Teach me to do your will. This guy's got it together, doesn't he? Teach me to do your will. Why? For you are my God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how we treasure your word of truth, how we treasure our time together, this ministry, this fellowship that you have here, Lord, vessels of various kinds that we would be filled. That's our desire, that we would pray together. We would pray Paul's prayer before you, that we would be filled with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And no matter the shape of the vessel, no matter how dirty the vessel was in the past or how broken down the vessel is, that the filling is important. The clean, pure, living water is what is important. And you, the Lord God Almighty, doing the filling. Help each of us to be there, to know these things, to treasure these things, to be able to say with the psalmist that we delight to do your will, that that's the thing that you've created in us, and that we would pray to teach us to do your will, because you are our God. How we praise you. How we praise you. We love you. We adore you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.